On a Wednesday, it's Morning Edition here on KBSX 91.5. Good morning. I'm George Prentice. There are rare books, extremely rare books, and then something called the First Folio. It comes from the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. It's heading our way here in Boise. And this morning, we're going to learn more from reporter Adam Cotterell and our resident Shakespeare enthusiast. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, George.
Okay. Adam, I was told that when you first got word that the First Folio was heading our way, you gave an enthusiastic shout out loud in the newsroom and had a bit of a ruckus.
I believe that did happen, yes. I was very excited. I probably yelled out loud again later on when I learned that it would be housed in the same building as our radio station.
Where we're broadcasting from this morning. So, tell me, why is this so exciting?
The simple answer is that without this book, we wouldn't have at least half of Shakespeare's plays. So no Macbeth, no Julius Caesar, a bunch of others. But beyond that, if it hadn't been published, we might not have even heard of this person who's often called the greatest English language writer ever. And its publication was kind of an unlikely historical quirk.
So how did the folio come into being?
So in Shakespeare's time, plays were usually not published. Only about half of his were printed in his lifetime. But a few years after he died, a couple friends of his, actors from his theater company, decided to take all of Shakespeare's old handwritten manuscripts and publish them together in a style of book called a folio. Who knows? Maybe they were cleaning out a closet and found a box labeled Bill's Plays.
So this is a pretty big deal.
It was, because this was simply not done. Because of printing technology at the time, really big books like folios took a very long time to put together. They cost a huge amount of money to make, and only the very rich could afford to buy them. So they were used only for things like Bibles, collections of philosophy, classics, stuff that was considered important. And University of Nevada professor Eric Rasmussen, one of the world's foremost folio scholars, says that did not include plays.
It's very much as if someone today were to take the scripts from, say, the television show Everybody Loves Raymond, put them in a leather binding and call them literary works. Every one of us would say, well, that's silly. Those aren't literary works. That's popular culture. That's popular entertainment.
So the people who published the First Folio, they took a risk?
A huge risk. But it changed the way people looked at theater. Rasmussen calls it a watershed moment.
It's the precise moment in history at which we start thinking of drama as literature.
So here's a question. Did Shakespeare get his plays in this folio because he was the greatest writer of his age, or do we think he was the greatest writer of his age because those plays ended up in a folio?
Rasmussen says probably both. During his lifetime, Shakespeare was successful and respected, but nobody was going around saying he was the greatest ever. But for those two actors to take the risk they did in publishing the folio, Rasmussen says they must have believed they had something really special.
And I think, you know, the reception history over the last 400 years suggests that, yeah, you did.
100 years later, people had started saying Shakespeare was the greatest ever. And that was at least in part because there was this big, expensive book that told them so.
The very fact that they collected these plays and put them together in something as solid and as lasting really started the whole, wow, okay, we should pay attention to this guy. He must be important.
And now, 400 years later?
Well, we have the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, festivals in most states across the U.S. He's certainly revered all over the world. So if the book hadn't been published, he could have been forgotten by history, and maybe we never would have read Romeo and Juliet or Hamlet in school?
Exactly. But the folio isn't just important to historians. For actors, it's a valuable tool in bringing these plays to life. I recently talked about this with Idaho Shakespeare Festival artistic director Charles Fee. He says every edition of Shakespeare is a bit different. Fee says through the years, editors have changed a lot. Punctuation, words, even whole lines.
The folio becomes kind of our benchmark. What we think is the closest we can get to the actual text that Shakespeare wrote. It's the text that we do go back to in rehearsal to look at where we have questions about complex passage in the text, what we call in the Shakespeare world a crux, a passage that you can't quite figure out what's really meant here. Let's go back and look at what the folio was and see if that will help us. And in some cases, it can help you, and in other cases, it will baffle you.
Or maybe an actor can't figure out where to pause or what word to emphasize. She might look in the folio and say, hey, there's no comma there. What if I don't have to pause in the middle of this line?
Punctuation tells you a lot about phrasing, right? What word you're going to stress in this 10-syllable line of Shakespeare's. And so that's when we often are looking at the folio for punctuation clues.
So he's talking about reprints of the folio, not the original copies, right?
Yes, yes. There are fewer than 240 known copies, and they can sell for more than $6 million.
Okay, then. So security. Is this going to be pretty tight security?
Very. And tomorrow I'll tell you more about that and some of the other preparations the university has had to make.
Just give us an example of that.
Okay. The university had to install a device to measure temperature and another for humidity in the gallery where it will be on display. Those sent hourly readings directly to the Folger Library for a year before the Folger was satisfied.
Thanks, Adam. That's our Adam Cotterell, reporter and Shakespeare nerd. Shakespeare's first folio is on display at Boise State's Yonke Family Research Park on Park Center Boulevard from August 20th to September 21st. And there will be a grand opening carnival this coming Saturday, August 20th, from 1 to 5 p.m. On a Wednesday, it's Morning Edition. And this is KBSX 91.5.